Thank you so much. Thankful to be back here safely again tonight. Thanks to our good brother, Sister Angus, Captain Camel. It was good transportation down to Orlando and back again. It was real help. We had a real wonderful day down there yesterday. I don't know when I was at a nice Sunday school picnic that they had there yesterday. It was just one of these outstanding ones, and the Lord gave us a perfect day for it. But today, at Hiawatha Chapel, we had a wonderful day as well. Sunday school is growing again. Sandy Bible Hour filling up more and more. And the young lady stayed behind and wanted to be sure she was saved this morning. And it's thankful we were able to deal with her, and she had assured our salvation. So she and her mother went away very happily together after the meeting. So we thank the Lord for the encouragement. Now then, we come to the last subject. And I said it was two Jewish kings on whom judgment was pronounced and executed. Now there's a lot of Jewish kings that judgment was pronounced on, but I'll give you a little lead. Both were involved, or both had women involved with this particular, with each particular one. What about this judgment on them? That'll give you a little lead. Now, I only want one hand at a time. Two kings of whom, Jewish kings of whom God pronounced judgment and was executed. Exactly as God said it through his servant, the prophet. Two different kings. Both with a woman involved. Okay. Say that again. David, Ahab. That's right. Got it. David and Ahab. Now I'm using these two first as illustration as to the certainty of the Word of God to be fulfilled. Forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the Word of the Lord endureth forever. Thy word is true. You can depend on it. Whether it be a promise as to the way of eternal life, Lord says that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's exactly what it means. To as many as receive him, the Lord Jesus, to them, he gives the authority to become the sons of God. That's exactly what it means. He that believeth not is condemned already. That's what it means. But he that believeth not, he that believeth not is condemned already. And that's exactly what it means. God's word is true. When the Lord Jesus said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, that's what he meant. Nothing else. You can take God at his word. That's the problem today. You see, the many people do not believe God's word. We're looking a little bit tonight at the dark side of God's word and his promises, because there's that side to it too. All kinds of people like to believe in heaven. All hope to go there. For some means or another. But there's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to get there. And we pointed that out through the week. There's only one, and that's the Lord Jesus. But tonight we also want to find out something else. As it is, and this is the truth, is be sure your sin will find you out. And sin will never be unnoticed or will never be unpunished. Sin will always be dealt with. I think you'll see that tonight. So as we look at the Word of God, first turn to 2 Samuel, the second book of Samuel, chapter 12. Now the background, but this is chapter 11, where you see the sin of David. The time when kings went forth to war, to battle, David sent Joab, it says in chapter 11. And David stayed home. And as he was staying home, idle, temptation was put before him. Beautiful woman, beating herself. Came before his vision. By gaking of old, he saw, he desired, he coveted, he took. And then, coveted up. Nobody knows. Nobody knew about it. Until he got word from that same lady, that Sheba, I'm with child. What am I going to do? Like all men, when they get into a corner, they'll find ways and means to try to get out of it. Right? He can see the pain. I'll get her husband to get home, give him a leave, and let him get home and have a nice time at home with his wife. But the husband was an honorable man. David brought him home, encouraged him to go home and live with his wife, and he said, no, should I be under a roof and have a nice home and all that when these other men are out there in the battle? I won't do it. What a man that Uriah was. No wonder he was mentioned among the mighty men of David. And David got him to be drunk, thinking then he might go home. No. Still the same mind. So when David couldn't cover it up like this, he sent it back to the army and he sent the letter with him to the captain, Joab. He said, Joab, put him right in the most dangerous spot. Place him there. And that's where Joab put him. And that honorable man was killed in the battle. Then David took Bathsheba to be his wife. Everything was covered up. No one will find out. All right, now let's read from 1 Samuel chapter 12, or 2 Samuel 12. The Lord sent Nathan unto David. Nathan was the prophet of God. And he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. For the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and it did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his flock, of his own flock, and of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold. You notice that? Here's a man pronouncing his own judgment. He doesn't know it. He's going to restore fourfold because he did things and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thank God for bold servants. Men that are not afraid of the faces of man. There are many men faces that are. Men that will not stand up and be counted and be true to their conviction. Nathan was. Like John the Baptist. He said to Herod, you've done wrong, Herod. I tell you, that takes courage to stand up to a king. Doesn't it not take, that takes much courage to stand up to a little 60-year-old boy and say, you've done wrong. But to stand up to a king that has power to execute you. In those days, they had complete power. Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus said the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king, O Israel, I deliver thee out of the hand of Saul, I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. In that, if that had been too little, I have more given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I'll raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I'll take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor. You remember that took place unto Absalom. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I'll do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. There is the wonderful redeeming part of David's care, if you like. One thing with David, when things were told for him, he said, I have sinned. Remember when Abner was told about his sin, he said, man. And he wouldn't turn from it. And either he'd get rid of the fellow that convinced him of his sin. When Herod was told about his sin and Herod's wife, she got rid of John the Baptist rather than get rid of her sin. But David, when he was told, he said, I sin. What a lesson we learned here. God said, he's a man after my own heart. Except in this one thing. But God spared him because he confessed his sin. And you know Psalm 51 is the account of his confession. Now listen. The song to say then, and Nathan said unto David, the Lord had also put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. And the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Now here you have David. He committed the terrible sin of adultery and murder. The awful heinousness of this sin. He that covered up his sin, he shall not prosper. This is the word of God. Now David was a believer. It doesn't matter if it's a believer or an unbeliever, whoever sins, he's going to have to, that sin is going to be dealt with in a different way, of course. But sin will always be dealt with. Sin is the most expensive thing in the universe. No one can sin and get away with it. God's word verily says, be sure your sin will find you out. And a clever cover-up act that he provided here from all human standpoints. A perfect cover-up. But everything is naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Thou, God, seest me. My friend, tonight God sees you and he sees me truly true. Your thoughts all know. You read sometime at your leisure, Psalm 139. Before you ever speak your words, he knows the words you're going to speak. He knows your thoughts are far off. He knows your down sitting. He knows your upline thing. He knows everything about you. There's nothing hid from him. So we see in this lesson that God is absolutely on everything we are and do. And nothing escapes him. And sin is very, very serious. You have the terrible sin, the first verse, and then the conviction of this sin. Then the repentance. But nevertheless, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. David said, the man that done this thing, he's going to restore it fourfold. All right, let's just see how God's word was fulfilled. In this same chapter, you have the first promise, or the word of the Lord said, the child, in verse 14 of that part, also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Right down after that, the child died. David fasted. In verse 18, it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. Number one. Here in this chapter you have also a wonderful explanation to us. Sometimes people ask you, what about a baby that died that has not been baptized or christened and so on? There's a little illegitimate child, died. But David said after he heard what said, he stopped sowing, he got up, he washed himself and ate his food, and he said, I can't bring it back, but I can go to be with that child. And I know it was going to go to be with the Lord. That's the first. Now, number two in the fulfillment of these, turn please to chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 28 and 29. Now there's David's boys, Ammon. And oh, my friends, how the children will follow parents' example. He committed this awful sin, this garlic sin. Some of these things we shrink from speaking about in public. But the way things are in the world today, we have to be clear on these things. And this boy, he displaced his half-sister, beautiful girl. Stole her purity. And the brother Absalom, in his heart right then, covenanted that he was going to get him. So he arranged an occasion when he would be invited. And this is the occasion. And now Absalom, verse 28 of chapter 13, has commanded his servant, saying, mark ye now when Ammon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Ammon, then kill him. Fear not. Have not I commanded you, be courageous and be valiant? And the servants of Absalom did unto Ammon as Absalom had commanded. And all the king's sons arose, and every man get him up upon his mule and fled. Number two, the second child of David, murdered. Man has done this thing, he'll restore fourfold. Let's turn now to chapter 18 of 2 Samuel. Verse 14. Now the setting here, of course, is Absalom has risen up. He's stolen the hearts of the multitudes of Israel. He's after the throne. And he got it. He did that thing openly before the sun. That maiden said, his own flesh would commit. But now the final battle has come. David has given word, don't anybody touch the son. Oh, my son Absalom, don't anybody touch him, don't anybody kill him. And Absalom had a great big head of hair. And as he was riding on his mule, he got caught in a great big tree by his hair, and he was hanging there. And one of the men came and they told Joab, the captain, verse 12 of chapter 18. And the man said unto Joab, as he had told him, Joab said he would have given him 10 shekels of silver and a girdle if he would have killed him. Though I receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet will I not put forth my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing, the king charged thee, and this ye eye, and hit the eye, saying, beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise I should have brought falsehood against mine own life. For there's no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself wouldst have set thyself against thee. Then said Joab, I may not say thus with thee. And he took three darts in his hand, and crushed them through the heart of Absalom, while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. Number 3. The man that's done this sin, he's going to pay fourfold. You know the amazing thing with David? Such a wise man. If you notice right here that nothing was hid from him. He's like an angel of God that said, in one thing, he knows everything. You remember the time that Joab sent a woman to him in order to bring Absalom back? And David saw through the whole thing. He said, isn't it Joab that sent you? And she said, why, nothing is hid from you. And here is a wise man like David. He thinks he can get away with sin. Sin is blinds. Sin is a blinding thing. It blinds the most intelligent. And that's why so many intelligent people are blinded by their sin and they're on their way to hell. They're lost. Now that number 4, 1 Kings chapter 2. This is the fourth son, Adonijah, the younger son of Absalom. When David came, became very old, he rose up and he had Joab and Abias as a priest and others around him to take the coal. God said, Solomon is going to reign. But he thought he would get it. But God, through David, said, no, it's Solomon. And Solomon would crown king. And after Solomon was king, Adonijah, one of these young maids that had been waiting on David when he was old and cold and couldn't keep warm. And he came to Bathsheba and said, I just want to ask one favor, and you can go to the king, and he won't deny you. I want that girl to be my wife. And Solomon said, this is it. And he sent his captain. And he had him executed. Then Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, he fell upon him in verse 25. That he died. Number 4. The wheels of God, they grind slowly, but they grind surely. Dear one, tonight, let's not make the mistake that we can get away with any kind of sin. It's going to find you out. Every idle word that a man speaks, you'll have to give an account of. God keep perfect books. There'll be nothing forgotten. Nothing forgotten. He's the record of everything. Everything is written down. We'll see that in a moment. I must hurry on. Now then, quickly, we'll just look a little bit at Absalom, just to show you these illustrations. 1 Kings, chapter 20. The first sin of Absalom was in sparing this king, Ben-Hadad. That was his first sin. He was supposed to have killed him, and he spared him. And the prophet says to him, in the chapter, 1 Kings chapter 20, and verse 42, and he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast had brought of thy hand a man whom I appointed to other destruction. Therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. Right after that, in chapter 21, he goes up and he looks over Naboth, the neighbor's vineyard. He covets it. He wants it. And he goes to Naboth, a gawky Jew, And they were said, no, it's not right. It's against the law for me to let you betray vineyards with you, even for you to buy it. So he came home, and as a spoiled boy, he was pouting. He lay down with his head against the wall, and he was pouting. And his wife, Jezebel, now here's the other woman. That woman, the painter thing. And she said, what's the matter, Ahab? He's laying there pouting. I want Naboth's vineyard, and he won't let me have it. I'll do it together. You know, just like a spoiled child. So I'll get it for you. So she sat down, she framed some false witnesses, made a great speech for down there where Naboth was could be very important, and then she framed it, and two fellows put things in his mouth that he had never said, witnessed against him, and right there they stoned him to death. They sent word back, it's all done. She said, now go down and possess your vineyard. And after he was strolling down there, looking over this lovely possession he just come into, like that, gets right on the scene. He's sent by the Lord. Word of the Lord, verse 17, chapter 21. Came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Elijah, go down and meet Ahab. If there was any man Ahab didn't want to meet, it was Elijah. That's the last man he wanted to meet in his stolen vineyard. But I tell you, my friend, you'll always come face to face with your sin. And you don't get away with anything. And thou shalt speak unto him, verse 19, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast killed and also taken possession. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord. Now you remember it was Jezebel that maneuvered all this, but this man is held responsible. The head of the house is always held responsible. He says, in the place where the dogs lift the block of Naboth, shall the dogs lift thy block. Even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee. And I'll tell you, God always finds us in. In a coming day, if you don't get saved in this life, dear friends, there'll be no place to hide. They'll cry in that coming day, they'll cry for the mountain and the hills and the rocks to fall on them. To hide us from him. There'll be no place to hide. He said, I have found thee because thou sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, this was his sin. There was his judgment pronounced. Now I want you to see the fulfillment of this judgment. Chapter 22, and it starts at verse 31. He goes out to battle in alliance with Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. They had been told by the true prophet of God, Micaiah, that he wouldn't come home. So the fool, he says, now I won't go on a king's. I'll take off my kingly robes, you can wear yours, but I'll just go in and I will camouflage myself. They'll never know I'm a king. They'll never discover me, you see. Maneuvering. And they saw Jehoshaphat and they got at them, but he cried out. And the Lord delivered that godly man. It's the one that he almost got killed. But somebody in adventure drew his bow and he let that arrow fly and it hit Ahab right between the shoulders. God always gets his man. Up in Canada they say the Mounties, they always get their man. But they don't. But I tell you, God does. God always gets his man. And that's, jump down to verse 37. 1 Kings 22. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria, Now listen to these words that were told to him by Elijah. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dog licked up his blood. And they washed his armor according to the word of the Lord which he spake. God's word will come to pass. Then, I want you to see the judgment upon Jezebel. Here in chapter 21, verse 23. And of Jezebel also speaks the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. The dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Now turn to 2 Kings chapter 9. Here's the fulfillment. Jehu comes to the place where she's hiding out, where she camouflaged herself, and listen as it says. Came to Jezebel heard of it, verse 30, and she painted her face and tied her head and looked out of the window. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, he said, have 10 wives each who slew his master. He lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And there looked up to him 2 or 3 eunuchs. And he said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses. And he told her on the foot. And when he came in, he did eat and drink and said, go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she's a king's daughter. And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hand. Wherefore they came again and told her. And he said, this is the word of the Lord which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat. Flesh of Jezebel. How accurately is God's word? How accurately it is fulfilled? Here you have one, a king of the believer. His sin is dealt with. Here you have two others, wicked people. In high authority, God is no respecter of person. The soul that sinneth, it will die, it will be dealt with. And it will be executed according to the word of the Lord. Now may I just bring a few things to your memory, and I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 20. And I realize I'm bringing solemn things to us tonight. You know, and you turn to Revelation 20, it says in 2 Peter, chapter 2, I believe it is, that'll verse 4, that God spared not the angels that sinned. He didn't spare them. But they'll be served in chains now, in darkness, waiting for that day. God spared not the old world, but overthrew it with a flood. They had sinned, and sin had to be dealt with. God spared not the cities of the plain in the days of Lot, but they were burnt up with, they were destroyed with fire and brimstone. God spared not Israel as the natural branches. We read in the book of Romans. And then we come to this climax also in Romans. God has spared not his own son.
My friend, when the Lord Jesus hung on Calvary's cross for you and for me, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, all the floodgates of God's wrath was opened up, and it was poured out upon him without mixture. Without mixture, he drank that cup to his bitter dregs. When your sin and my sin was laid upon his only Son, and he bare our sins in his own body on the tree, God dealt with him for your sin and my sin. He was made a curse for us. He sees the Holy One that knew no sin was made sin for us. The waves of the billows of God's wrath toward all him. He cried out, I think in deep mire where there is no standing. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was there for you and for me, that we might never, never come under judgment. Isn't that one that will have a substitute tonight? Even though we're guilty, even though we're sinners, even though we deserve to be banished from God's presence, there's one that took my place. That the voice was heard to deliver him from going down to the pit. Justice after what crown, and the answer comes, I found the ransom. Christ Jesus gave himself a ransom for us all. That's the glorious news of the gospel. Well, the awful thing is that we reject such good news. No one can reject or neglect such good news without also suffering the consequences that we saw illustrated in the Word of God tonight. And I, now in Revelation chapter 20. And I saw a great white throne. Great because of who is sitting on it. It's white because of its absolutely impeccable purity, holiness. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father committed all judgment to the Son. He had appointed a day, and this is the day, which he'll judge men righteously. And they all wanted to flee, and all brought back. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the court here, the great white throne, the judge, the Son of God. Here you have the prisoners, the small and the great, stand before God. All the unsaved. And the books were opened. From the time when you became accountable to the time that man leaves this earth. Everything is recorded. There's not a thing left out. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged, and those things were written in the books according to their works. There'll be degrees of punishment. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. That's the bodies I take. Death, the bodies, and hell, Hades, delivers up the soul of the lost, which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now the books will be opened. Everybody will be gathered there. Eternity will be then. There will be no question of time. Time will not enter into it at all. Everyone will be dealt with individually. And every sin will get its proper punishment. This is why you should be saved tonight. There's no judgment of them that are in Christ Jesus. He bears that at a place called Calvary. He took my place. Tonight I go free, although I was a guilty, hell-bent, and a hell-bound, and a hell-deserving sinner. Jesus took my place. He took all the wrath of God that I deserve. He has given to me the righteousness, the robe of righteousness, the picture for the presence of a holy God. He has blotted out my sins as far as east and from the west. He says, I'll remember them no more. Isn't that wonderful? None of these books to be opened to connect with a Christian. They're all canceled. All blotted out. Completely a new creation in Christ. Have your sins all been blotted out? There's only one. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Nothing else can take away sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Friend, deal with it tonight. Get it settled tonight. Get right with God tonight. Come to the Lord Jesus, Lord, I'm a sinner. Save me from my sin. Come into my life and make me a new man, a new woman, a new boy, a new girl. I want to be a Christian tonight, Lord. Come into my life. And the moment you really do that from your heart, God said, in all your sins are blotted out. Go on. Isn't that great? Wonderful. I hope you'll be saved tonight. We'll be praying as you're singing, and then we'll have a closing word. hymn is 226, please. Would you turn to that, please? 226. And we're going to have all Brother lead and sing the last two stanzas. And we're going to pray as we sing that maybe there's someone here tonight and you're not seeing what you'd like to be. You know, it'd be a wonderful thing tonight if you would just openly come right up and say, I want to receive that. Just come right up to the front. I'll come right there and meet you. And say, I want to publicly accept Christ tonight. The Lord will bless you for it. Give you real joy and peace in believing and taking an open stand like that. The last two stanzas of 226 could revive me. To be saved, be sure and talk to me. I'll be at the back of the door and we want to help you. That's the purpose of these meetings, that you might be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come. He really loves you. It's a friend who warns you of the danger. You can't get away with your sin. Jesus wants to save you from your sin. That's why his name was called Jesus. We shall save the people from their sin. This is bound prayer. Oh, Father, we pray that our use thy word and the singing and any part of this service for thy glory tonight. Bless thy people. If there should be someone here tonight that is such a stranger to thee and to thy sovereign grace, Lord, tonight, may they indeed come in all sincerity and simplicity and ask the Lord Jesus to save them from their sin. Use thy word now. Part us with thy blessing. We thank you for this week together. In our Lord Jesus' precious name, amen. May be seated.